It's done.
Connor McDavid! It's not real!
The goal of the year?
Panarin!
Part of the past. The celebrations? Forgotten. The history?
Vegas Golden Knights!
History. We're back to a blank slate. Clean ice. All that matters now is what happens next. The Stanley Cup Playoffs.
Eastern Conference Final begins Wednesday.
Another day is here, and you're ready for it. What to wear? Check. Breakfast, lunch, and dinner? Check. Planning for what's next and how to save for it? That's where Bank of America can help. For your financial to-dos, Bank of America has experts ready to help get you closer to your goals. Get started at one of our local financial centers or 24-7 in our mobile banking app. Find a location near you at bankofamerica.com/talktous. What would you like the power to do? Mobile banking requires downloading the app and is only available for select devices. Message and data rates may apply. Bank of America NA, member FDIC.
Welcome back, everybody, to the Sick Podcast Recruits Draftcast. Grant is checking his phone because he's currently texting with a very prominent player, newly signed to the NHL. We'll talk about that in a bit. There have been omissions to the U18 Canada team. Certain players that will not participate that we were expecting. So we'll get into that. The end of the season, the end of the regular season is upon us. For some, it means playoffs. For others, it means draft. So we're going to do a little tankathon simulation. We're going to talk about a big matchup coming Saturday between Montreal and Ottawa. 1 point separates the two teams for potentially two spots. It's a mess, but we'll dive into that. We got the Montreal side, we got the Ottawa side, so I think it'll be a good discussion. Later on, we're going to get to Rocco's Riser of the Week, and then it's time for Grant's Prospect of the Week, and we're going to cap it off with our Habs Prospect of the Week. Let's get started.
Turn up your volume, because you're about to listen to The Sick Podcast. Sick Podcast. Recruits Draft Cast.
And with the first overall selection in the 2023 NHL Draft, the Chicago Blackhawks are very proud to select from the Regina Pats, the Western Hockey League, Connor Bedard.
The sickest NHL draft and scouting podcast. It's gonna be sick.
All right, producer Shane here, joined by my amazing co-hosts as always, Grant McCagg, Rocco Zappia. Gentlemen, how are we today?
A plus, man.
Love it.
Working on my third week with a cold, but hey, I wouldn't miss this for the world.
Absolutely. No, that's it. And I think the timing of this show is pretty good because, you know, just before we jumped on here, Elliot Friedman dropped an expected bomb. I think everybody kind of knew it was coming, but Lane Hutson is officially signing with the Montreal Canadiens. And Grant, you can actually confirm this because you talked to the source himself.
Yeah, I got it right here. I just said welcome aboard and said thank you. So you wouldn't, you know, there'd be big question marks if, you know, if it wasn't true, I guess. That's what are you talking about? But I said, going to get some NHL action, I hope. And he said, we'll see. So,
I mean,
I would suspect that that's.
Yeah, he will.
If Farrell and Harris, you know, agreed to NHL contracts the basis that they wouldn't go to the AHL, they'd play to end the season. Lane Hutson, it's going to be the same deal. So, good for him. I think Pinto was like that too, right?
Mm-hmm.
Oh, definitely would be cool.
There we go.
So, yeah, it would be very cool.
Friend of the show, Lane Hutson.
If
you're watching this episode and you haven't seen it yet, we had Lane on. We had a great discussion with him. So after you watch this, go tune in on that. he's a great guy. Honestly, one of my favorite guests we've had on. And I think I speak for most Habs fans or all of them when I say very excited to see him don the bleu blanc rouge. I think he's going to be an electric player, something that the Habs have been missing for quite some time. So, granted, you know what? Mike Matheson has been fantastic this year. 60 points as a defenseman is no joke. He's, I believe, eighth in defenseman points this year. So, props to him. He is quite the dynamic player. But Lane Hudson's just at another level. So looking forward to seeing that. Now
we've got Rocco tongue tied. Like, it's first time ever. Like, he doesn't know what to say.
I don't. Yeah. Not exactly the Sens prospect.
I don't get in the habit of cutting you guys off. Eh? Someone's got to wait their turn around here.
Oh, you learned from the first couple episodes. Okay, good.
That's it.
It was funny, like, you know, Lane Hudson's been trending since last night. And, yeah. You know, just about every tweet's like, why isn't he signed yet? And you see those memes of people tapping their feet, you know, and all that waiting. Terrible. But, I mean, you got to give the, you know, the main reason why Kent Hughes was at the game last night was to see his son, you know, and to support him. He just happened to play on BU as well. He wasn't going to go in the dressing room with a rigging contract and, you know, hey, sorry you lost here. Sign right here. You know, that's like it. You got to give the kids, you typically give them at least a half a day to, because you could tell after the game that Lane was pretty distraught. I mean, it's just, you know, it's your last college game and you lost, and he's so competitive. He, you know, you give him time to breathe. In fact, I'm almost a little surprised that he signed this quickly, to be honest with you. I thought maybe this evening or tomorrow, but hey, you know, it was no secret that he was coming out, and you know, like I suspect that he'll play. I don't know if he'll play the against Ottawa, because I'm not sure they really want to win that one. And you know, like I was saying with Tony last night, like who's going to pull their goalie first, and what periods are going to be in? You know, second period, you know, pull the goalie. I guess there'd probably be, the NHL would kind of frown upon that, eh? But
I don't think that would go over so well. Just what the Sens need, to get punished another draft pick for doing something stupid.
No, it's that should be a good game on Saturday night. It's you know, is it going to be high scoring or low scoring? Like, what's the over under? You know, I wouldn't know which way to go on that. It could
over. Have you watched the Sens goalies this year? Just take the over every game. Take the over.
Yeah, because I mean, the players are gonna play. You know, they're gonna try, right? They're gonna freaking give their all. They always do. You know, coaches might make a couple of funny decisions during the game, but even the coaches want to win too, really. So. You know, it's the one good thing about ever since the, you know, that season that a team that shall rename nameless tanked pretty hard, and they changed the lottery, so that the bottom team that didn't get the first pick guaranteed. Teams try, you know, they don't, players and coaches certainly don't tank on purpose. So. It's all good. Speaking of tank.
Yeah, that's it. We'll get to that actually right now.
Okay.
So as we mentioned, right, Saturday, Montreal, Ottawa, Grant and I will be rooting for the Senators, and Rocco will be rooting for the Habs, because as we see here, Montreal currently stands at 73 points. Ottawa's at 74, same amount of games played. So the difference between 5 and 7th overall could potentially be big, right? You know, we've heard Rocco say he wants Parekh. We know the Habs, you know, they'd love to see a guy like Caden Lindstrom fall to them. So this is sort of a must-lose game for both teams. So it's going to be pretty interesting to see how that one pans out. But we thought we'd have a bit of fun today. You know, we did our mock drafts not too long ago, but we, you know, this was assuming that there would be no changes to the order. Now, with the lottery simulation, which should probably look something like this, unless, you know, some of these teams start winning like crazy. Granted, there's only like 3 games left. The order should be pretty much like this. So we're going to have a pretty good idea of what this could look like. How many Sims do we want to run, guys?
Till the Habs are the Sens or finish first.
Let's start it up. Okay. Second overall.
Okay. We can second end right overall. Here. We just need to do one. That's good.
Yeah.
Well, this should be good. Let Grant say who's Montreal's getting second overall so he could get ripped by everybody in the comments.
Yeah. Yeah.
Which honestly, like,
Artem Levchinov would be my guy. No.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
Hey, it's Kaylee Cuoco for Priceline. Ready to go to your happy place for a happy price? Well, why didn't you say so? Just download the Priceline app right now and save up to 60% on hotels. So whether it's Cousin Kevin's Kazoo Concert in Kansas City, go Kevin! Or Becky's Bachelorette Bash in Bermuda, you never have to miss a trip ever again. So download the Priceline app today. Your savings are waiting.
Go to your happy place for a happy price. Go to your happy price, Priceline.
I'd go Demidov.
Absolutely.
I'd take the flyer on the Russian. We'll be discussing that a little later too.
What are the Habs faithful gonna think of that? Like,
he's only got 1 year, you know, unlike Michkov, who's got had a three-year contract still.
Yeah.
He's only got one more year in Russia. So that makes it a lot more attractive too, right?
Mm-hmm.
You can get him over. It seems like they're still coming over when their contracts expire. Yep. So, 1 year you have to wait on them. And then, 2 years from now, how good is Demidov going to be, right?
Oof. Yeah.
Well, I just got the email from Club Canadien confirming that they signed Lane Hutson. So
he's going to play.
Double confirmed now.
It's tomorrow night, I think.
Mm-hmm. Who is Ottawa playing their last two games?
I got Boston and New York, and both of those games are the last game for those other teams.
Ooh, okay.
Well, it could be a situation where Ottawa is not playing the other team's full lineup, depending if they're locking in the spot. Like this weekend is going to tell everything, but Ottawa could have a chance to play some not full lineups here.
And yeah. Detroit's going to be full bore because they're
pushing.
They have to win to get in the playoffs. And Montreal plays Detroit twice to end it. So,
yeah,
Ottawa would be best served to lose on Saturday. But anyway,
as long as they don't pass Calgary, I'll be okay.
Yeah,
yeah. Calgary's closing in. Actually, they're 1 point away. So
top seven would be nice.
Yeah.
Yeah. And in this scenario, you don't drop any, right?
No, that's it.
The two teams that move up were in the top.
Yeah.
Top five or whatever. So mm-hmm. Chicago obviously would, Celebrini and if that's how it turned out. The top pick 2 years in a row, Celebrini and Bedard. Talk about your rebuild.
Come on.
Quick rebuild, eh? Give them 2 years and look out. They're vying for
ridiculous. Ridiculous. Now, San Jose dropping at three is just a heartbreaker. Like, that would be tragic.
They're a wild card, eh? Like, if they came to three, I don't know what they would do. Like, they've drafted the last couple of years some pretty high skill type picks, but, Lindstrom there, 6'4" center, he'd look great in their prospect pool, but so would a couple other guys.
I mean, what do they have on defense right now?
I know you'd hate to see them take. You'd hate to see them take Perak, but gee.
No, I know.
That's the one.
I don't see how if Perak. I mean, I didn't see the game last night, but shutout. I'm just imagining they didn't play too poorly defensively. They shut out. They shut out the Sioux. So he keeps it up, boy. San Jose, I have a hard time believing that they'd pass on,
Well, that's it.
Replacing Erik Karlsson, right? from a couple of years ago. So, I mean, they could frig. Perek would be a 25 to 30 minute defenseman in San Jose within a year, probably. So,
and that's then like, right now, like, who do they have? Right, they have Shakir Mukhamudulin.
Yeah, no,
you know, that's about it.
Well, they got Kalen Addison running their power play now, but I don't know if that's the solution for them.
Might be a step up with Perek,
Just a step.
I don't know that he's
the whole floor up.
Do you think Anaheim's got a pretty good young defense coming? So at four, be difficult to see them passing on Lindstrom, I think.
Yeah.
You know?
I've actually seen a lot of Ducks fans clamoring for Levshunov. They are under the impression that he's that missing piece in a sense where, you know, he's a different style of player than, say, a Mintikov or a Zellweger, and he's on the right side. So apparently, I'm not familiar with which sides they have, you know, but apparently they're pretty deep on the left, not so much on the right. So if Anaheim goes Levshunov, I mean, that changes things a lot.
Different than Minchikov in what regard? Do they think that Levshunov's good defensively? Because
that's the impression that they're under.
They're in for a really
that's what I've been seeing. Like I've been looking at a few comments from different fan bases, trying to get a sense of where you know they want their teams to go.
Fingers crossed that they take Levshunov fourth overall.
That'd be great. That'd be great. But I've seen a lot of Anaheim fans go for wanting Levshunov.
Well, they aren't scouts, are they? They're fans.
No.
And they're in California. So, I mean. Anyway. Good. Okay, well, let's do another simulation. We got to get Ottawa in here.
Do another one. Oh, Calgary.
No one, number one. No.
Go again. This is not good.
Forget this. Go again. We don't need this one.
Calgary. No, it's okay. Calgary.
They're taking a Ginla one. Calling it.
Yeah. Come on. I mean, tell me that they couldn't use. I mean, every team can use Celebrini, but that would be a fantastic spot for him, you know?
Oh, my God.
He'd become the face of the franchise and.
Right away.
Yeah.
Calgary needs to catch a break, too. Like, they've been in this. Land for so long where they're like kind of okay, but they're still kind of shit at the same time. Like, I don't know. I don't like
they've never had a top pick, have they?
What's that? No, that's what I mean. They've never been bad enough to be good again.
Like, what's the highest pick they've had? Like, Sam Bennett, fourth. That's about it, eh?
Yeah,
Monahan,
Bennett, but
no top three picks that I can remember.
Like, that's it. They stay in this mediocrity cycle, right?
I'd prefer that to Chicago.
Absolutely.
First pick again. I actually.
But that means that the Habs and the Sens move down. So.
Oh, well. Mm. Yeah. But one spot, big deal. Columbus. Yeah. Well, Trevor would be happy with that. It'd make up for last year's kerfuffle there. So.
Now, they haven't had a top five pick in 10 years. Kachuk at number six, but Bennett was the last one before that.
Wow. Right. Oh, yeah, Kachuk, too. How could I forget Kachuk? Right. Okay. And then
because you don't like the Kachucks anymore.
Anymore? Any less?
Yeah.
Okay. Okay, well, let's do another one.
San Jose falling to three again.
Yeah, well, we know who they'll pick, Perek.
Brutal.
That's who Rocco wants them to pick.
Okay, not much movement here. Yeah.
Yeah.
Chicago gets them twice now. Let's see another one. Oh, Jesus. Okay.
Buffalo. How many places would they be moving up?
Eight. They move up eight spots. St. Louis wins. How does that work again?
You can only move up 10 spots.
Yeah, that's it. So basically, they won the lottery.
I wouldn't like that too much.
No, this is a disaster.
That's awful.
Ottawa would be picking ninth. Wow.
Yeah, they'll be getting another left-hand D probably.
Be getting like Levshunov or something like that. Wow.
Yeah.
Yeah, maybe. Well, if he's there. Who knows? Who knows? I don't know.
I know.
He could be gone. He could go. Like, he could get. I don't think it's as crazy as we're making it out to be that he goes top five.
There's a real possibility.
It's only me. It's only me saying it's crazy, and that it's not. I'm not saying it's crazy from the viewpoint that it won't happen. I just wouldn't do it.
No, that's it.
No, and that's fair. But like, it wouldn't surprise me if he ends up being the first D off the
board. No. He went into college. He's a big kid. He can skate. He put up good numbers. So hey, yeah. If you didn't watch him that closely, you'd love him.
Mm-hmm.
Well, if you're picking him top five, you watch him pretty closely, I think.
Yeah. Well. If you got him top five, you didn't watch him that closely. But anyway, okay, let's move on.
Yeah, let's do another one because this is not good. And basically no movement here. Anaheim moves to two. Chicago drops to three. This is a likely outcome, right? This is what we can probably expect. Something along these lines.
I wouldn't have a big issue with San Jose getting the top pick. I certainly would prefer it to Chicago getting it again.
Yes, they know. Screw them.
San Jose is just, I mean, even with the top pick, you know, they could be years away from being a real true contender. So,
yeah,
you know, if any of those teams I'd actually prefer other than Montreal, it'd be San Jose to get the top pick. So
I'm in that boat as well. So bad.
Well, we'll give Ottawa one more.
Yeah, last one here before we move on.
Hey, look at that.
Same thing. Hold on. No, we got to do this again. Ew!
Seattle and Calgary. Wow.
Seattle could use a guy.
Yeah, definitely.
Use many guys, but I don't know.
Yeah, and they'd be moving up quite a few spots.
Okay. Okay, so yeah. just as per usual, Sens get stiffed. Let's move on.
Yeah. Didn't move up one spot at all. The whole simulation. No. Yeah, I like the first one. The first one was pretty good. I like that.
Yeah. I did a simulation earlier, and Montreal was second in that one too. So I think it's meant to be. They're going to move into the top two.
I would love that. And, you know, the guy that would likely be at two, we're going to talk about him later because he's still tearing it up.
Out of the bag. Okay.
Yeah. I'm not naming him, but you know what? I'm insinuating who our prospect of the week is. But before we do that, we had some interesting news today that both Berkeley Catton and Caden Lindstrom would not join Team Canada for the U18s. This is a surprise because like
fourth,
you know, we talked Berkeley Catton has had disappointing playoffs. We'd like to see him play at this type of level, international competition like that. That's the type of games that, you know, you want to see a prospect stand out. And maybe that would, you know, boost his draft stock. And Caden Lindstrom was hurt most of the year. So scouts missed out on a lot of his games. I don't know. This is weird. This is really weird.
I don't know a lot of scouts that went to see Catton in the playoffs either. Mm-hmm. And I think most of them were counting on seeing him at the U18. So be doing a lot of video watching, you know. It may hurt Catton's stock a little bit because he didn't have a great playoff. Although I was talking to one scout about it, and he did sort of, you know, he did say, well, they keyed on him because, you know.
Okay, but that's what's going to happen.
Well, exactly. Spokane doesn't have a great team. So they keyed on him. Well, you know.
Okay.
NHL playoffs, is he not going to get keyed on if he's, you know.
If you're supposed to be a top, if we're having this debate for the 12th week in a row, that maybe is Catton a top 10 pick or not, right? If you're getting keyed on in the playoffs in junior, I don't care. Like it's junior. Go be the guy and fight through it. Other guys are producing that are getting keyed on too. And maybe, you know, I guess again, got Crystal on the first line, whatever. That takes a big chunk away from it. But like, if you're going to be a top 10 pick, you got to be able to fight through getting keyed on in junior.
Yeah. Yeah.
And like, obviously, who knows? Is something, maybe something's wrong with him. Maybe he's hurt. It's like, we don't know. Do we know the specifics of why he's missing U18s? So,
yes, I did get word.
So, is he hurt?
That's why he's not going. And okay, there'd be no other explanation for
it. Maybe you go the other way then and you cut him a little slack for the playoffs. Because if he's playing hurt, like good on you for being out there at all, you know?
Yep. That was the, you know, the little scoop I had, that the fact that apparently, not sure what exactly it was, but it's nagging, and decided best to not, you know, hurt himself more by, you know, perhaps, you know, getting re-injuring or making it worse, whatever it happens to be. Mm-hmm. And I mean, it just doesn't make any sense that he wouldn't go unless that was the reason too.
Yeah.
So I tend to believe that, you know, a scout told me that that's what he's heard, that the reason why is because he's injured in it. And that's the obvious reason why Lindstrom, I don't know if it was a back, but like he had the wrist injury and then he came back and I think he hurt his back. I'd have to double check, but there was something else because he missed a game, right? In that series.
Yeah.
And you could tell he just wasn't 100% in the series. So that one I understood even when I heard the news, although I was disappointed. But Catton, like, why is he not going? And I got confirmation that it's because of injuries. So that's too bad. I mean, he was great in the summer, right? And if he'd have done the same thing again,
mm-hmm.
people would have boosted him up a bit again. So I don't know if he's out. I think some teams have him in their top 10. The last time that we were talking about him and I said that all of the scouts I talked to didn't have him top 10, I got an email like during the show that I checked from a scout that said, yeah, I've got him top 10. So there is, you know, there's at least one team that has him in their top 10. And I mean, it only takes one. If that happens to be the team that's picking ninth or whatever, maybe that, you know, he ends up going top 10. I'm not going to have him in my top 10. Even when we've seen players fight through injuries and still persevere at playoff time too, right? Mm-hmm. I mean, we got to go with what we saw. We can't presume, oh, well, let's cut him 100% slack because he may have been injured.
Doesn't sound like it may have been, though.
Well, no, but I mean, he didn't get a goal, you know. From 52 goals to none in the playoffs. To go from 52 goals in 68 games to none in four, it's not going to help the stock with me. I don't care if, you know, if he was injured or not. So it's not going to help the stock, not going to the – so, hey, maybe at the end of the day he drops more than he should and a team ends up getting a kid that ends up being a great NHLer too, right? Yeah. We can't predict these things. So, you know, I expect him to go 10 to 15 probably. There are guys that don't even have him in the top 15, believe it or not.
Wow.
But, I mean, it was similar with Jaeger last year. Everyone thought, hey, he's a top 10 guy for most of the year. Then, oh, maybe he's 10 to 15, but certainly top 15. And then he goes, you know, what, 14, I think it was. So you never know. Hey, heck of a junior. Probably be a really solid NHLer, and it's just too bad we don't get that last look at him.
That's it. No, I think it's unfortunate for us as well, right? That every scout that was looking forward to getting a better look at these guys won't. So,
and Canada, unfortunate for Canada. I mean, those two guys,
even more. Yeah, that's it.
Yeah,
no, two of the best players on the team, not there.
Yeah, yeah. So, yeah, I don't, you know, I had them as the prohibitive favorites for this tournament. Probably still will, because they're still going to have a heck of a team. But when you're missing your, what could be arguably your top two forwards, that's not going to help.
At Evernorth Health Services, we believe costs shouldn't get in the way of life-changing care, and we're doing everything in our power to make it possible. Behavioral health solutions that also keep your projections at their best? It's possible. Pharmacy benefits that benefit your bottom line? It's possible. Complex specialty care that cares about your ROI? It's possible. Because we're already doing it. All while saving businesses billions. That's Wonder made possible. Learn more at evernorth.com/wonder.
Jewelry isn't a gift you give just once. It's a way to remind your loved one of a beautiful moment every time they see it. Blue Nile can help you find the gift that says how you feel and says it beautifully, with expert guidance and a wide assortment of jewelry of the highest quality at the best price. Go to BlueNile.com and experience the convenience of shopping Blue Nile, the original online jeweler since 1999. That's BlueNile.com to find the perfect jewelry gift for any occasion. BlueNile.com.
Not much you can do there. It sucks. I wonder, like, because there's so many good guys, I wonder if anyone gets a little shy about Lindstrom trying to base a decision in the top three or four off of half a season's body of work. And the other thing too, like, if the injuries with him, if they're all different injuries, that's kind of scary, because you've hurt yourself a few different ways. Like, it's not just like an ankle that lasts, you know, you hurt the same ankle three or four times in a year, then you're okay for the next year. Like, if you're hurting one thing, then another, well, you know.
Well, two things.
Look at Kirby Doc. Like, you don't want, you know what I mean? Like, there's a perfect example of a guy who just can't get past injuries. So I wonder, and I don't know. Lindstrom's still very comfortably in my top four for sure. But gives you a second to think about it and say, I wonder if a team's going to take an injury concern with him a little more seriously than maybe they would have if he had have been able to come back and really look good at the U18s.
I don't think there's a history of injury. Like, he wasn't injured last year a few times, and it wasn't multiple. Like, it was two injuries.
Yeah,
this year. So I'd be careful with that a bit. But Aginla's been playing so well that
the gap
between those two guys has closed.
Aginla,
if Aginla scores another 8 goals in the second round or something like that, I mean, don't be shocked if he ends up going ahead of.
No, and man, like, and that's it. It could be a situation where guys just have the opportunity to move up, and even if your stock's not moving down, if guys move up enough, they'll pass you. Anyways, it's just, you know, I don't mean, like, I don't think that some team's going to let them fall a crazy amount, but it might enter the conversation if you're debating at number three, for example, what to do.
But then, you know, another guy that we like, top five, Yakimchuk, he's not playing either, right?
No.
Byum has a – I thought – did you watch the game last night?
No, didn't see that, no.
Okay. He was solid against, you know, EU, right? Celebrini. Did not – Celebrini didn't get his number. We all know how good Byum is offensively. I was very impressed with his defensive game last night, so – If he goes up against BC, which is one of the offensive powerhouses of the last decade, easily, maybe of ever in college hockey, and looks good defensively against those guys.
Quite a goaltender too.
He might move into the top five discussion.
I think the five slot is open. We can have this conversation again, even from the two spot, but I really think that five spot, at least like Grant and yours and my mind, I think we agree there's four guys that we like better than the rest for the most part. And that five spot there is wide open. And Byum is one name that, like, if there is one of the lefties that goes that goes in that top five, I think it would be him for me anyways.
Yeah. Yeah, for sure. Mm-hmm. He played a lot on the right side last night too. It's interesting.
Jeez. Yeah. And that, which probably won't be the case at the NHL level.
Yeah. No, but it's impressive.
Against certainly. Yeah, yeah, yeah. Yeah.
A freshman against BU and looks good defensively on his offside.
Yeah, no doubt about that.
That doesn't tough. Hurt at all. You know?
That is tough. Wow. Yeah. Well, great discussion there. And I think we're going to throw it over to another defenseman, Rocco. It's time for Rocco's Riser of the Week. And this week, you're going to be talking to us about Spencer Gill. Let's have a look.
So we've got Spencer Gill, 6'4", 185-pound right defenseman with the Rimouski Oceanic in the queue. He had 12 goals, 45 points in 65 regular season games and added 5 more assists in 5 playoff games. They lost their first-round series 4-1 to Cape Breton, unfortunately. So Spencer Gill, he's from a small town. I give a shout-out to small town New Brunswick. He's from Riverview, New Brunswick. I was born in Miramichi, so I got to shout out my New Brunswickers when I get a chance. His older brother, Dylan, is a Tampa Bay Lightning prospect. He was drafted in 2022, so good hockey bloodlines in that family there. So this was their last game, the game that they got eliminated on. He was really good in this one. He played, I think, 24 or 25 minutes. It was every second shift he was over the board. So in terms of his attributes, and you can see it straight away, his ability to move up and down the ice at 6'4 is quite good. I wouldn't call him an elite skater, but I would say he's very good for his size especially. Moves the puck quite well. He can handle it well. He puts his passes on the tape very, very regularly, which you like to see. So you have the combination of size skating and puck movement ability, and automatically you're kind of excited about that anytime, especially as a righty. He does see passing lanes well, and he is accurate with his passes. And two words that really kept coming up over and over in my notes when I looked at my notes after the games that I watched were patience and poise. He's very, very patient in terms of letting the play develop and letting the play come to him and not forcing a play. And he's very poised when he handles the puck. And so those are two very good attributes to have in a defenseman, because I find he has a little bit of a calming aspect out there for his team. Kind of is able to slow the play a little bit, and not like an elite sense in the terms of like taking over the game, but just kind of adds a little calmness out there when he's out there. Zub does it for Ottawa too. You put him out there and it's like, okay, things are going to go fairly smooth here. And I find he had that effect on his team. Doesn't really force a play almost, at least in this game and a couple others that I watched, almost ever does he force a play in his better games. He's very, very careful with the puck, and he takes what's given to him, which is, again, that comes from waiting for that play to come to him and waiting for it to develop. So he's very, very calm with the puck. Under pressure, he can handle a guy forechecking him and not panic with it and not throw muffins up the middle and not throw blind passes up the boards where guys aren't, even if he's expecting them to be there. He's very careful with that, and he is willing to take some contact to make the right play in order to protect the puck. And again, that's something that kept coming up over and over in my notes, is that safety or takes care of the puck or protects the puck. He is very cognizant of where he's moving that and to make sure that he's not making any undue errors or any unforced errors, which is a big thing. Turnovers that don't need to happen can kill you, and those are momentum swingers and they're momentum killers. And if you go out there as a defenseman and you're not giving any of those up while you are able at the same time to push the play the other way and contribute at both ends, that's a very good sign, because it's going to give you confidence. I mean, and you can tell he's got confidence from his coaches. He's playing 24, 25 minutes a night as a draft eligible in a game that they had to win. Their season's on the line. Another thing he does know how to use his body positioning very effectively and very well. He's hard to push off the puck. He uses his body to shield off guys on 50-50 pucks and loose pucks really well. And I find he comes out of the corner or a puck battle or a loose puck opportunity more often than he loses it, which you like to see. He's very, very simple and clean in his defensive game. Like I said, he's not forcing things. which is great. He's capable offensively, especially at the junior level. 45 points as a draft eligible defenseman is nothing to sneeze at. I don't think offense is going to be his calling card at the NHL level, but he is more than capable to chip in, and he'll get a lot of smart play points, I think, where he's just making good, simple, reliable plays that lead to the forwards taking it up and getting assists and that sort of thing. I don't see a first power play guy by any means here, but I do see a guy who can play probably maybe on, you know, ideally in your top four and maybe chip in on special teams here and there. I don't see him carrying the bucket offensively, but I don't think he's devoid of offensive ability either. You know, maybe a 20 to 35 point kind of guy, average, I suppose, in that sense. Not a physical force. He doesn't go out of his way to lay a big hit, and he doesn't blow guys up, but he's only 185 pounds still. So, you know, he's going to need to add, I think, a little bit to that frame, and maybe that part of his game comes because he does finish his checks. He's not soft. He plays the body when it's there, but he's just not running guys over. Good hockey sense, anticipates well, reads the game well, is in good position for the majority of the time. There's a lot to like amongst him. He's in a group of guys for me that is rightfully in the conversation as a maybe potential first round guy, end of the first round, anywhere after the early 20s. I kind of have time for him. Decent chance that he goes in the early second, but late first, I mean, I see it. You get a 6'4 right-hand defenseman that's smart, simple, moves the puck well, skates well, reads the play well. There's a lot to like, and there's a high floor there with him. So that is something that I could see happening towards in the 20s sort of thing. But in the 30s, it would be fine for him as well. And, you know, he's a Maritimer, so that's going to get him a few extra bumps, especially with me. Yeah, come on. You love the Maritimers, Grant. They're good people out there. He's going to work his bag off for you day in, day out. Yeah. So I like him. I like him. And I didn't watch him a ton throughout the season. Maybe I assume because I spend so much time out east at home that I'll get to see him organically anyways, and I just didn't. So paid a little attention to him in the playoffs, and I was really, really impressed. And for my money, he's probably the top guy out of the Quebec League this year. It's a thin year in the queue, but he'd be the guy. He's a good player, good prospect.
Muted.
Oh, we're muted, Grant, there.
When you're talking, don't dare say a word, eh? No, I'm just kidding. I was muted, so yeah. It was good. All good. I was going to say, like, I lived in Riverview. Had a newspaper called the Riverview Review. Try to say that quickly five times. I spent a year there, the year actually of the O.J. Simpson trial. Just that's
fitting.
Yeah. A little fitting. So, I was not in my head, but definitely Maritimer's a good character. I mean, most of them, there's the odd guy that, you know, like Rocco that, you know, we're still not quite sure about, but yeah, most of them got good character. No, I'm kidding. it was funny when you said 25 to 35. Cause, like 25 to 35 points. Cause that's where I think he slots also in the draft is 25 to 35 at this point. Yeah. And he's going to be at the, U18s. I guarantee it that he'll be on that team and he, might play a big role and, you know, he might move up into the top 25 discussion. We keep seeing highlights like what, again, you know, you keep getting, finding good games. The last few guys you've profiled, I've been impressed by, you know, you pick out the good highlights and a lot of impressive stuff there in him, in his game. Guys have really come around on him as the year's gone along. And I think most guys consider him to be the top prospect in the queue now. So, good on him. Good to get some Maritime representation at the top of the draft.
He's a type of player too, though, that maybe like it makes sense that guys grow on him as the year goes through because he has a quiet effectiveness to his game. And I think a lot of the times you come away, it's like, oh, you maybe didn't notice him that much. But I think a lot of times that's a good thing for a defenseman. You don't want You don't want to notice him. And again, not to say he's devoid of offensive talent, because you saw some spits and spurts in there. He can move the puck, he can skate the puck, and he's a really good power play guy at the junior level, sort of thing. But a lot of time, especially in his own zone, you don't want to notice him. And when you really pay attention to him, he's winning those really small battles around the ice that from it, especially as a defenseman, are super important, because they're the battles that start plays. It's whether the puck stays in your end and you stay on the defending the cycle for another 20 seconds, or if you're able to win that battle and start the breakout and get your ass off the ice, right? So he's really good at those kind of things, which you have to pay a little closer attention to. You know, he doesn't stand out in the same way that a Parekh or a Demidov does. So kind of makes sense that a guy like that seems to get better as the year goes on. But I'm interested to see how he does at the U18s, and especially against some of the higher flying forwards in that tournament. And, you know, if he can shut them down and keep turning pucks over and sending them the other way, we're going to hear his name called on the first day of the draft.
Yeah. It'll be interesting to see if he plays on the power play, and he'll be playing with better players than he played with most of the year. Maybe he flashes some offense. That we see a little more offense and good production from him. So, yeah, I'm very, very looking forward to seeing him at the U18s. And he's a definite riser on our list. We've got him now, right at the cusp of the first end of the first round. So, glad to see another. You know, they keep on rising. Gotta like it.
Yeah, good stuff there. So Spencer Gill is Rocco's riser of the week. Now, Grant, it is time. Let's talk some Ivan Demidov. Let's do it.
Yeah, again, I hate to, you know, I just, hey, his playoff has been amazing. Yeah.
Come on.
How hard is he to knock down? He's just so, is that stuck? Yeah, nice. He's just so hard to knock down. And you just look at that, top corner. What I did is the highlights of all of his points. 25 points in 13 games in the playoffs. That's just like the MHL is good quality playoff. Like good, especially the teams in the playoffs. It's good hockey. I've been watching it for years, and these guys are pretty skilled. So, you know, I mean, you try to get, you know, you see folks comparing them to Michkov all the time. And when it comes to their career playoff numbers, I was having a look just because, I mean, Michkov hasn't played in the KHL playoffs, but he played 27 games of junior playoffs. Demidov has played in two junior years. He's got 38 points in 23 games and is plus 30. Now, Michkov in 27 games, so four more junior games, 27 points and plus six. So the decided difference in, you know, come playoff time when it really counts, of Demidov stepping it up as opposed to Michkov at the Russian playoff level. Now last year, both came up in the SKA system, but last year SKA loaned Michkov to Sochi and then Capitan's junior club in the playoffs. Michkov faced SKA in the playoffs, Demidov and SKA in the playoffs last year, second round. SKA swept Capitan in three straight. Demidov had three goals, and bear in mind he was a year younger. Michkov failed to score a goal and had one assist. So, you know, people wondering why SKA keeps loaning him out. Last year was his chance to prove him wrong at the playoff time, right? You'd think he would have been motivated. He wasn't able to score on him. So it's just interesting little tidbit to it as to why I, you know, personally prefer Demidov to Michkov as a NHL prospect. I just think he's bigger. His game translates better. He's more competitive. He beats opponents with his speed and strength and agility, while Michkov is just the ultimate opportunist. You know, he's so smart. Knows where to go on the ice, anticipates rebounds, and just deadly sniper. But Demidov, his skill is just so high level. that he's just going to score at the NHL level, KHL level, any level that he plays at, he's going to score. But you just have to sit back and enjoy these highlights and just, you know, his vision's great. His puck skills are great. Oh, look at this one. He bounces it off his skate and back to his stick and goes around, finds the guy. So, I mean, he has all the offensive tools. And whoever gets him, I wouldn't be shocked if he puts up Kucherov, Kaprizov type numbers or mm-hmm. better at the NHL level. And I mean, in any draft class, you can get a guy that can score 100 points or more for you. You have to take him top two. You know, if you redid the draft with Kucherov, he'd be top two. Kaprizov would be extremely high. Panarin, all these Russian guys that have come and produced so well at the NHL level. Demidov's, I think he's more skilled than all of them. So, Celebrini's going number one. I can't see, but if anybody goes at first instead of Celebrini and we get shocked, it'll be this kid because he's the most skilled player in the draft. Mm-hmm. And had to have him as a player of the week. Nobody else did what he did. No other prospect came close. So give him the nod one last time.
Correct me if I'm wrong, but doesn't he have the highest point per game average for a draft eligible prospect in MHL history?
That's quite possible. He was two points a game.
Yeah, that's it.
Points a game in the regular season.
Mm-hmm.
And he's 1.97 points per game in playoffs. Nobody's done that before. So
absurd, right? So we're talking about like one of the best Russian prospects in recent memory. Like,
yeah,
he's big time. He's big time.
Since Ovechkin for me. So
yeah.
You know, what do you think there, Rocco? Mm-hmm.
Oh, he's as slick as they come, man. I mean, there's not much I can say. He's one of those guys where like anyone who's never watched hockey before, it could be your first game watching hockey, and you're like, oh, that guy is who's that guy? He's pretty good, right? Like he stands out to he's so much better than like he looks like the guy who like played 2 years of low-level pro and then came back to play with his beer league buddies and all of a sudden looks like Wayne Gretzky, you know what I mean? Like, he's just out there against a guy. He's just like, whatever, I'll dipsy-doodle, like, I'll hang on the puck as long as I feel like it. I'll make a play when I want to. I'll score points when I feel like it. Like, he's just better than everyone that he's out there on the ice against. And, you know, my only knock against him is that I didn't get to see him in person, which I do think is a huge things. So, you know what I mean? There's things that you can't pick up on video, but his video looks as good as anybody's, like, period. No qualifier. He's got skill out the wazoo, man. So, there's not much not to like except for where he was born, honestly. And other than that, like, what do you want out of a winger? Like, look what Kucherov does in Tampa Bay. And if he can get to that level, you know, that's a top three. That's a top three player in the world right now. So, and has been for the last several years, quietly. So, he's my number two, and I think that's pretty firm. As much as I like certain other guys, I got nothing but good things to say about this Demidov kid. He looks like he can do it all.
That's it. I think the only thing that can knock him down, like you said, Rocco, is teams that are scared of picking a player that they haven't gotten a chance to watch, right?
Yeah.
So that's the only reason he could go further than two, because otherwise, like, he's a lock.
There'll be some reliance on Russian scouts, you know.
Mm-hmm.
They'll do their background digging as much. But everything I've heard about this Demidov kid, and I mean, I watch after the goals too and celebrations and all that. His teammates love him. They absolutely love him. They mob him on the bench. They're all smiling. You know, you see a lot of when kids not really that liked, it's good goal and look away, you know. But he's universally loved by his teammates. He's a superstar, and often superstars aren't loved by teammates. But they, you can just tell that he's a down to earth kid, you know, that it's not going to his head that just how much better he is than everyone else, because he is at that level. He should be playing in the KHL right now SKA. But, you know, their coach is a little anti kid. And I mean, that might be the other thing that maybe hurts him a bit. The fact that he's in an organization where he may end up playing on their KHL team next year and playing 3 minutes a game or something like that and not developing a whole pile. But it's only 1 year. And I think that will help him a lot. It's 1 year of development that even if he does play in the KHL and it's sporadic, I don't think he'll become a mediocre player based on 1 year. If it's 3 years of development, then you start to worry. But 1 year, I mean, we saw it at the COVID year, right? A lot of kids didn't play at all. McTavish, did it hurt McTavish as a prospect? Did he develop? Yeah, did Wyatt Johnson develop without playing much in his COVID year? Well, 32 goals this year as a 20-year-old. So, it will be interesting, but boy, I can't see too many teams, at second overall. I mean, maybe if you want the defenseman, maybe Parak goes ahead of him, maybe. But I can't see him going past the top three just based on just that skill.
No, and like you said, he's over there one more year, and even if they stick it to him and they don't play him a ton, it's still a year practicing every day against guys who are in the second best league in the world, which is a teenager, I think can make a big difference. Like you look at the NFL, the quarterback coming out of the draft that sits a year sort of thing, and then his second year, all of a sudden he looks great. Well, it's because he practiced against professionals for a full year. So there is development there for young players to be had just by being in that environment of being in the highest level. But the other thing with him, like I wonder how much of him being down this year and not being on the top team, or next year possibly not playing a ton of minutes, I wonder how much that has to do with the fact that he is only on a 1 year deal and he didn't want to stay in Russia for longer term like Kaprizov and some of the others.
Right.
I'm not saying that's the case necessarily. I have no idea. I wonder.
Yeah.
That's interesting.
But it's good that he didn't sign that 3 year deal too.
Teams will
like that. Take that.
Oh, it's good for him. Yeah, yeah. It's good for his NHL prospects for sure.
Yeah, absolutely. For sure.
But it may hurt him sort of next year with ice.
Yeah, yeah. Yeah, it'll be interesting with that club.
They don't love
but guys. He can certainly help them, boy.
Oh, like sure.
He could be a really good KHL player.
He should be there. Yeah.
And, I don't know if it's the second best league in the world anymore. You could maybe argue that because it's watered down quite a bit, the KHL, but it's still in that discussion.
Second or third, whatever.
Like it's right up there with the SHL and for sure. And so,
That's it. So, Ivan Demidov, we're going to figure out how to pronounce it, but our boy Ivan here is our prospect.
Ivan the Great.
Yeah, he's going to get some terrible. He's going to get some cool nicknames for sure. I'm excited about that.
Yeah, Ivan the Terrible when you play against him.
Exactly. Yeah, when you're his teammate, he's Ivan the Great. We're going to jump into the Habs discussion here, so Rocco, I'll save you the trouble, but go Sens, go.
Hey, big Montreal victory coming up on Saturday night. You love to see it.
All right, let's get him out of here. Take care, Rocco. Have a good one.
Bye, Rocco.
All right, Rocco Zappia. Joking, of course, because the Habs are going to lose. speaking it into existence. So, speaking of the Habs, we got our Habs prospect of the week. And before we get to him, we have to highlight our good friend Jacob Fowler, who had a shutout in an elimination game against Michigan last night. So huge game for him.
A shutout for the shutout.
There we go.
They were outshot 32-22. I mean, and Michigan has three guys in the top 10 scoring in NCAA. So that's no huge small feat to win 4-0, despite being outshot 32-22, the goalie had something to do with it. So great to see Fowler. You know, when we saw last week with those dynamite saves he made, he could have been the prospect of the week again this week. You know, Kapanen could have been again. I don't like to keep having the same guys every week. So we give a little bit of love to this other guy that is really off the radar. So I'm looking forward to it.
And we've given him some love before, but
it's been a while.
It's earned, right? Like he's earned it. And that being Filip Eriksson, let's have a look.
Yeah, this is Engström going in, which is kind of funny. And he passed it back. Yeah. And there's our boy there. And he gets open and Patun. Now, what's pretty cool about this is it was his third shift of the game, and it was like second period. He'd only played three shifts, up until this point in the second period, and he played 17 shifts the rest of the game and scored another goal to tie the game late and send it into overtime. Now, he was in the Hockey Allsvenskan. What's really neat about him is that he only played like 13 games last year, and it was a big reason why I think he wasn't drafted till the sixth round. Because I didn't even scout him, like I didn't even know about him, and so he makes Faxio, the SHL club, right out of training camp, not having played only 13 games last year. So he did not play a single game of junior this year. Now, typically, Ogren, and I can name a whole bunch of guys that were first-round picks, they usually play games the next year after their draft, still back in junior. But he played the entire – he started the year with Vaxio. Then he got loaned to Hockey Allsvenskan with Nebro. They got eliminated in the Allsvenskan playoffs. So he gets called back up to Vaxio, and he's playing, the first few games of the playoffs, he's playing 3, 4, 5 minutes. But then this is the second last game that Vaxio played. Rogla ended up beating them 4 straight, and Engstrom's on to the next round. So we won't be seeing Engstrom in Laval, which is the unfortunate part. But you could see his confidence soar after that goal. And in the last game and a half, he was easily one of Vaxio's most dangerous forwards. Now, Noah Östlund, who is one of my favorite prospects from the 2023 draft, in their final game, Eriksson essentially replaced him. Now, Eriksson, who was selected 149 spots after Östlund in the sixth round, played almost 11 more minutes in the last game compared to Östlund. 11 more minutes than Östlund. Who the Canadians loved, by the way, and tried to trade up to draft with a 13th pick from the Islanders that they received for Romanov. But then they went to plan B, which thankfully they did, and they ended up getting Kirby Dach. But, like I say, he missed most of last year, and he wasn't on my radar. But then, now in a must-win game when they were down 3-0, he plays a top-nine role. And was mighty impressive. That's mighty impressive for a late round pick. No Swede drafted in the past three drafts had more SHL playoff goals than he does with the two goals that he got. So for a sixth round pick,
incredible
it's just,
value.
It's incredible. And the biggest improvement I've seen in his game from last season is the skating. And you could tell even in limited action last year that he was an intelligent player. But it was noticeable that he lacked high-end speed. Now, he must have had a great off-season in training to make Vaxio right out of training camp, like I say, having played so little last year and never. But to come in this year with that lack of experience and to play pro hockey the entire year, to be the leading Swedish junior drafted the last 3 years in playoff goals in the SHL is, despite not playing a whole ton of time in the playoffs, it's mighty impressive. So You can see by all these highlights, he really forechecks hard. He's diligent on the forecheck. So good compete level, good work ethic, smart. His size is, you know, he's maybe a tad undersized, but he's close to 6 feet. So I don't think size is an issue, but he gets to a lot of pucks. He knows where to go in the offensive zone. He gets open. He looks solid for Nebro in the Allsvenskan playoffs as well. So Oslund will be going off, I'm pretty sure, to Buffalo next year.
Yeah.
You know, and he'll replace him basically in the, you know, he'll take his spot as he did in the final game of the playoffs. And he'll be a regular next year for Vaxio. And we'll probably see, you know, further development from him. But I mean, you know, Fowler, the play of Fowler, Jack Eye, who's now just got signed by the Canadians, Erickson, to get those three guys after the top two rounds. Like, you know, we love Reinbacher, wow, and he's looking great, but it looks like a second straight draft that Kent Hughes has done rather well considering. You know, absolutely, throw in Alex Newhook. So yeah, they get Reinbacher, Newhook, because they traded their other two picks that they had, right?
Late first, early second.
So, you know, you've got you've got Reinbacher, who could be a first pairing defenseman. You got Newhook, who's top nine for sure, maybe second liner next year. You've got Fowler, who might end up being a starting goalie in the future. Mm-hmm. You've got Jack Eye, who looks like he'd be a consummate fourth line, physical, all around defensive, versatile, can play center, can play wing. And you've got this kid who, I mean, he's made the bigger jump as anybody, any Swede, yeah, that was drafted last year in the draft. So those are four excellent picks, and they all have good potential. So it's looking like it was a really solid draft by the Canadians again last year.
Yeah, no, I have to agree. I have to agree there. That's, and I think being a sixth round pick could actually play in his favor because he's got no pressure. Right, we're introducing people to Filip Eriksson. Some Habs fans don't even know who he is. So the fact that you know he can just play, right? If he pans out, that's fantastic. If he doesn't, that's fine. He's a sixth round pick. He's not supposed to. You know what I mean? So I think, you know, the progression that we've seen and what can be with him is mind blowing. I mean, that's. that's as good as you can ask for a sixth round pick, really. Like, yeah, again, they knock it out of the park with this one. It's obviously it's too early to tell that, you know, okay, this draft class for the Habs is gonna steamroll, but yeah, like you said, Grant, it's looking quite promising indeed. Yeah. Well, that's gonna do it. We had a fun day today, right? Lane Hutson is officially a Hab. According to our good friend Jimmy Murphy from the Sick Podcast, the Eye Test, Luke Tuck should follow not long after. He hasn't been signed officially, but according to Jimmy, it's almost a done deal. We should hear from that fairly soon. Obviously, this show has been pre-recorded, right? So by the time that it's out, he might have already signed. We don't know yet, but again, that's another piece that the Habs are adding, a big, strong power forward. If he's anything like his brother, pretty good. Pretty good indeed.
Yeah. I mean, he was arguably Boston's best forward last night, Boston U. He was pretty excellent. Much. Scored a goal, shorthanded goal. Looked great. I mean, Kent, who better to do it in front of other than Kent Hughes, right? Right there.
There you go.
I mean, there's been talk that, oh, he's going to – the Canadians aren't that high on him. They should be because he to me, is just like Jack Eye,
mm-hmm,
is an ideal – if you can have Jack Eye on one side and Tuck on the other on your fourth line down the road.
Money. You know,
stick a Kapanen, yep, or Beck in the, ooh, middle there. Ooh. Ooh. Be the best fourth line in the league.
come on, you're talking my language, Grant.
Well, you know, you know, talk that he might, because it's his fourth year, he could say no to them. Well, there's a spot there for him. You know, yeah. Montreal doesn't have that type of player. He stands as good a chance of making the Canadiens as any other team because they don't have many players of his ilk in the system. And, you know, the talk is, well, you know, he'll just say, no, I'm going to sign with Buffalo and go play with my brother. You know, well.
Is there room? Is there room?
Yeah. Buffalo, I mean, right Buffalo's there. Got a pile of good young, you know, top 30 picks that they've made in the last few years. Montreal is you know, he'll get opportunity. He looked good in Laval for sure. You know, they need him. They need him next game. They can get him. Get him and Jacky playing together on a line. And the last, I don't know the last Montreal Canadian pick that went the college route that didn't sign with them. Like I've gone through before and I can't recall if it was like the '70s or maybe the '80s. Like it's been at least 40 years since a college kid spurned, you know, Montreal. You just don't.
It's not going to happen.
You know, it's the mecca of hockey, right? So, I mean, the greatest team ever. It'd be like saying no to the Yankees, you know, if you're drafted by them and you just don't, do that. Right? So I suspect that he'll be getting signed too. So looking forward to that.
Fantastic. Well, thank you, Grant. Thank you to Rocco as well. Don't forget to subscribe. Leave us a comment. Leave us a like. Don't forget to check out recruits.ca for all your draft and Habs information. There's going to be scout testimonials on there. You can get all the info on all the top prospects. Thank you for tuning in. Until next time, take care.
And that's a wrap. Hope you don't miss us too much until next time. Follow the Sick Podcast, Recruits Draftcast on YouTube, Facebook, Google Play, and Apple Podcasts.